الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Respected علماء الكرام, respected elders, beloved friends and brothers, and not forgetting our respected mothers and sisters listening at home, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. On behalf of the principal of Madrasa Hamidiya, Hazrat Maulana Naeem Mutala Sahib Hafizahullah, on behalf of the staff of the madrasa, as well as the students of the madrasa, it gives me great pleasure to extend a very warm welcome to each and every one of you. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I also wish to express our sincere thanks and our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you for taking our time on this public holiday to grace our gathering with your esteemed presence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our coming today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this gathering a means of our forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use this gathering and the students who will be graduating from this gathering as a means for the upliftment and the preservation of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected elders and brothers, we have gathered today in this gathering, the gathering of Ulumuddin wa Sharia, the gathering in which the sacred sciences of the deen and the Sharia will be taught and be learned, and will be learned. Gatherings of this nature are like no other gathering. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed us, and it is our firm belief that such gatherings, upon such gatherings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special mercies descend, tranquility from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, and the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who bring nothing but blessings and mercy are present in such gatherings. Imam al-Darimi rahimahullahu ta'ala records an incident that on one occasion Al-Imam ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala, Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala, entered the masjid. And at that particular time in the masjid, there were two gatherings that were taking place. One was the gathering of ilm, the teaching of the sciences of deen, conducted by Humayd bin Abdul Rahman al-Himyari rahimahullah, the famous muhaddis, the famous tabi'i, the famous imam. And the other gathering was the gathering of a qassas, a person who was in the masjid, and he was relating incidents and stories of the people of the past. So Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala sat down for a moment to deliberate and ponder over which gathering should he attend. And while he was sitting there, he went into a slumber and a sleep. And in his sleep and his slumber, he sees a vision, a dream, when a person comes to him and tells him, "Oh Ibn Sirin rahimahullah, you are doubting and you are deliberating about which gathering you should be attending. What is there to doubt about? If you wish, at this very moment, I can show you that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is present in the gathering of ilm being conducted by Humayd bin Abdul Rahman al-Himyari rahimahullahu ta'ala." So it is our sa'adat, our good fortune that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to sit in such a gathering. Our program today, my dear brothers, is a very, very short program, is not long at all. So for the short time, I request each one of us to sit with the required adab, the respect, and the required focus and attention and concentration, so that we can receive the maximum benefit from such a gathering. And I also make a humble request, my dear brothers, let us not spoil the barakat and the blessings of this gathering by engaging it in any unbecoming acts, any undesirable acts, especially the act of taking videos or taking photos. May Allah subhanahu give us the tawfiq, may Allah accept. Inshallah, we will start off today's program with a qiraat by Maulana Shakir Makta, who is one of the students who will be graduating today, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَإِذَا مَا أُنْزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِم مَّرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ الذين في قلوبهم مرض فزادتهم رجسا إلى رجسهم وماتوا وهم كافرون أولا يرون أنهم يفتنون في كل عام مرة أو مرتين ثم لا يتوبون أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ ثم لا يتوبون ولا هم يتذكرون وإذا نظر بعضهم إلى بعض هل يراكم من أحد ثم انصرفوا صرف الله قلوبهم بأنهم قوم لا يفقهون لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا وهو رب العرش العظيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله تبارك الله. We say جزاك الله تبارك الله شاكر for that beautiful recitation. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى give each one of us a special bond and a special تعلق with the holy book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, the holy Quran. Especially in this day and age, when we are living in an age of trials, tribulations and fitna, which poison the heart and the mind of a person. And the greatest remedy and the best antidote to this poison is nothing other than holding on to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practicing upon the injunctions of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we in this country are really blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very, very easy for us to learn the Quran. Starting from the elementary schools of Islamic learning, the Makatib, through to the Madaris of Hifzul Quran, and then the Darul Ulum, where the tafsir and the explanation and the science of the Quran are studied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very, very easy for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to value this great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perpetuate and continue to shower this ni'mat upon us forever and forever. Inshallah, my dear brothers, our next item on the program will be an address, a talk by one of the very senior ulama of our country, Hazrat Mulana Abdul Haq Maktasaf, Daum Barakatuh. Mulana needs very little or no introduction, especially for us here in Durban. Hazrat Mulana Daum Barakatuh is a Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Masjidullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted Hazrat Mawlana to make khidmat of the Quran for many, many years. Many of the students of our Darul Ulum Madrasa Hamidiyah, past and present, and some of the students who will be graduating today, had completed the hifz under the guidance and at the hands of Hazrat Maulana Daum Barakatuhum. And alhamdulillah, we at Madrasa Hamidiyah are very, very fortunate that Hazrat Maulana has showered his special shafqat and kindness upon our madrasa. Maulana has always been ready to offer advice and guidance to the madrasa when guidance and advice has been needed. So we call Hazrat Maulana to address us.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم العلماء من ورثة الأنبياء أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. My most respected ulama, students who are completing today, brother in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You get two types of students in this world. One student, he comes to the madrasa, he spends his time there and waits for the last day. And once that finishes, he leaves also the madrasa. There is no contact thereafter at all. Second is that student, who spends his time in the madrasa and he makes sure that madrasa remains within his life all the time. That student who spends his time correctly during the course of his terms, making sure that the purpose is in front of him, that why I become an alim. Because the most important thing is intention. With intention you have love. If these two things get together, then you begin to become part of it. When you love something, you want to be with it all the time. Like a hafiz of the Quran. When you love the Quran, you want to read it all the time. He waits for occasions, opportunities where he can be free to read the Quran. Likewise, a student of the Quran, of the alim, who becomes an alim, he feels at heart that now I must become of that part, that this kitab must become part of me. My food is no more food, my food is this kitab. Until unless I do not get engrossed myself in putting myself more stronger, one is called ilmi huduri, khusuli, and one is called ilmi huduri. I don't want to go into deep this one, that part. Ilmi husuli means the time you will be seeking knowledge all the time. Ilmi huduri means now to bring that into your life. You do not have to open the kitab anymore to teach because your husuli was so good. It became huduri, now the ustad teaches the kitab without going to knock himself anymore. Because he had the opportunity in the time of his student class times, he made sure he made the best of time to understand the kitab. He gave his best time his kitab. He made sure he understood the kitab. He made sure there was nothing else besides the kitab. That student himself thereafter became of that kind, that once he completed the kitab, he does not have to open the kitab to open the first year kitab, because now he knows the last year kitab also. However, the most important thing is respect. Everything in this world you achieve through respect. The more respect you have, The more you grow near to Allah. My husband to say, one is khadim and one is maghdoom. Are you a khadim or a maghdoom? Every student must think that I'm a khadim and not a maghdoom. This was your intention, that I don't want one to be served, I want to serve. One is you want to be served, that they must carry your kitab and go to a darzgah. One is you want to serve, that you carry your own kitab and go to a darzgah. And this khadim can only come into you if you have respect. Without respect, you cannot achieve anything. However, you've noticed this month that today we have lost respect. We do not have respect in us. First and foremost, we have to respect for the walideens, that they took the opportunity and sacrifice to send you to the madrasa to make sure that my son become an alim. Now how do we respect our parents? Do we really have respect for parents? Because from the time, Mahazrat would say, you know, jab Mishka Sharif par pohunch gaye, to phir masail shuru ho gaya, bas fazail shuru ho gaya. Masail shuru khatam ho gaya, fazail shuru ho gaya, fazail, after Mishkat, fazail shuru ho gaya. Fazail mein sab fazailat hai, but you listen to all the fazilat, all everything. Kya wo apne zindagi mein laya nahi na? You had the opportunity to read the kitab, but it brought in your life or not? Tomorrow you're going to speak to the people, oh people, that you must make sure you read the tahajjud namaz. Oh people, do not miss the ishraq namaz. Oh people, do not miss the awabin. Kya aapko to bichare samajhte honge ke mashallah wo khud padhte honge? They may be thinking that mashallah, Maulana is talking, the husnazan is a very big thing. To think good of a Muslim is always wanted. We're not supposed to think bad of anyone at all. So people think, mashallah, Maulana, you give a wonderful talk, mashallah. And alhamdulillah, we will also they have in heart, hey, Maulana must be wake up at tahajjud namaz. You read ishraq namaz. Kaash ke wo samajh mein aa jaye. What I'm saying, if you can go into your heart, what I'm saying. Whatever I'm saying, if it can go into your heart and penetrate into it and stick into your heart, khuda kare aapki zindagi ise ban jaye. Why? My husband told, once I was sitting there, kya asr ki sunnat nahi padoge? And we all got up to read the sunnat. Then he said, the Basha par sakte to kya hum nahi par sakte? Basha, okay. He says that one day, Altamash was a king, he passed away. The one very big buzruk passed away. And that time, when Altamash was a very great king, was present there too. And it so happened that the buzruk passed away made four wasiyat that whoso must perform my janaza namaz. Very big crowd. He said the first wasiyat is that person who does not miss his takbir ula. Secondly, that person who did not meet ghair mahram kabhi dekha nahi, you know, ghair mahram. Dekha nahi, aankh ki hifazat. Tarki maasi, aankh ki hifazat. If you only know what you're reading, if you only know what kitab you're reading, then you make sure that his eyes is fit to read this kitab or not. When you came from home to come back towards your madrasa, you make sure you looked after, controlled your eyes and your ears and everything. Ghair mehram ko bhi nahi dekha. Never miss my four rakats. Asr sunnat. Are choro four rakats. Last to come to the masjid and first to go to the masjid. Yeh hamar ulama ki nishani. Maaf karna dil ki baat hai, keh dena zaroor. The last person to come to the masjid an alim and the first person to leave the masjid an alim. Halanki alim ko to sabko bada hai, waqar. He must be in this position, must come to first to the masjid and last to go. So what do you say? And ba wudu rehna. With wudu all the time. Today I do not know if an alim is going, when a student going to the class, if he's going wudu or not, khuda jaane. At that time, and one time, when Bilal Buzruq, Shaykh al-Hadith, is teaching the Quran, the Hadith, and one student coming from there, because they were sahib and nisbat, he just looked at this person, came to know he was janib. Janabat. Ghusl bhi nahi tha. But look how they were so tactful and what Mala said to him. He got up, he said, aaj dil chahte hum sab ghusl kare. Today we think out faults of people, but there he showed us what akhlaq he had. Akhlaq of the kitab is teaching. He said, aaj hum dil chahte ke ghusl karne ka. And then they all went down to Jamna and they made ghusl and came out. And then the ustad, the buzruk, said to his student, he said, kabhi nahi karna chahiye. Ba wuzur, quietly, silently, not like you and I. Ke kisi ka dil tod diya, kisi ko haqeer samjha. So nice. So if you look at these four things, he said, ba wuzur rehna. An alim should be remembered as far as possible, he must be in wudu all the time. Ya khuda na kare, we've got some sicknesses, there's something else. But ba wudu rehna, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he goes to pass urine, he comes out, the water is there, he's making tayammum. Yet we know very well that without his permission, the roo will not be taken out. Yet at that time too, my dear friends, what did he do? He made sure that he made tayammum. The sahaba comes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the water is there. How come you making tayammum yet? He said, I do not know whether I reach that water before I can pass away. Hamari zindagi ka khayal rakha. This wudu to remain for a hafiz Quran, for everyone is important. It becomes a part of your life that it prevents you from committing guna. When you got wudu in you, it becomes a shield for you to commit guna, because the most important thing, when Hazrat Maulana Rashid Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi was asked by Sheikh, Hazrat wrote to him and said, kya hal hai? Because he was very high. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi was a very great person, learned person, pious person, very great person. Just imagine a sheikh saying like this, if Allah Ta'ala will ask me, what have you brought? He say, I brought Qasim and Rashid. To say that kind of thing, to say regarding his students, what must you think about it? How great they were. But when his sheikh wrote to him and asked him, Rashid, how is your condition? How is your hal? Say, hal ko choro. Do cheez hai. Gunao se nafrat, or deen se raqbat. This is the only thing we want. Guna sin nafrat. Do not ask what kind of sin have hate for all sins. Until unless you not have the hate for all sins. And not have the longing to do good deeds. The sweetness of iman will never get. The sweetness of iman. That knowledge that you got, you cannot part it to any. You part it, there will be no knowledge at all. Remember one thing. Ilm is the noor of Allah. Ilm is a noor of Allah. And only those people can get that noor whose heart are clean. Clean from all kind of sins. All kind of sins. Only that kind of heart can get the noor of Allah, the noor of Him. Yes, you become, mashallah, you'll have a very good istidad. Go to the Kuwait and other places, you find their istidad is very good too. But they're not Muslims. But mashallah, they will be surprised. What kind of Arabic they speak? If they read, you'll be surprised yourself. Kya isse wo kaam ban jayega? Very important this much. Ilm ke saath hilm hona chahiye. Mahazrat, ilm ke saath hilm, tolerance. Aur iman ke saath taqwa ki zarurat hai. No matter how knowledgeable you are, you've got no taqwa and you've got nothing. Tolerance is very important. For an alim, tolerance is very important. And especially if you're a mufti, then more tolerance you wanted. All kind of tolerance. But mufti, you know what happens? The whole world talk about him. Some will talk bad about you, some will talk good about you. All kind of things they'll tell you too. Now if you've got no tolerance in you, what will happen? Bekar ho jaye. If you don't have tolerance in you, then you start burning inside. To hindai lahm rahmiyat. You said burnings. I'll give you an incident. I only tell you my incident, Hazrat Mawla Masihullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then naqal hua. You heard of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. You must have heard him. Very great person. He was known in the country, the people always like. One is, he says, if there's anyone who got suffered, there's no one like Norman himself. So one person said that, let me test him. I want to test him. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah was going home, and you must know this much, for 40 years, one from either one wudu with Isha and Fajr. Isha and Fajr, one wudu for 40 years, not 1 year. 40 years, Allahu Akbar. That person who only may be resting for about 40 winds in the afternoons. 40 winds, not like you when you say, you know, wait, no, I'm going for sunnah, but your farz go away, asr namaz goes away too. No, I'm making sunnah, no, I'm making sunnah now. Sleeping in the afternoon. Pa shabas, slept in the afternoon, slept in the farz kushan. That guy will go. Now he's going home now with that condition that he's gonna now sleep. Have a few winds. When he's going there, what happens? He goes there, what happens? One person comes and knock at the door, he's just walking, he just walk in the house, go upstairs. That not downstairs, upstairs. Remember, going upstairs. Knocked at the door. Opened the door. Asalaamu Alaikum. I was going to ask you one question, but I forgot the question. You know what you and I will do? Khalas. This is what you learned from the kitab. You know what you and I will do? Satyanas will die. No, don't worry. The mom will come back. After some time, he comes just up and knocked the door again. Open the door. Hazrat, I forgot again. Second time. Why did my Hazrat give us this incident? Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatuh, when I read his kitab written to Hazrat Hajjaji, he told me what I learned from this one incident was something else. And I'm giving you this incident not because for you to listen to the incident, Baba. If you listen to the incident, just to listen to the incident, then rather don't listen to it. It must come into you because you're an alim. All types of people must ask questions of all kinds. They'll ask a stupid question, they'll argue with you too. They will belittle you too. How will you respond? How will you? So in the end he says that I got the question to ask. He said, gee, tell me the question. You know what question told him? Hazrat, that human excreta is sweet or sour. Just imagine what a stupid question he asked after giving you so much trouble. You know what you should boot that person. First of all, you know, if you're having afternoon sleep, and someone rings, the phone rings. Hello. Oh, sorry, wrong number. Khalas. That person, wrong number, you hurting the wrong person. The wife is a problem now. She has taken to task for that person wrong. This is what an alim today, I'm just talking, generally it's a lesson for everyone. It's a lesson for everyone. Wrong number. Wife came in front, khalas. Wrong name came now. Gee, he said, no, no. He says, when it is fresh, it is sweet. And when it is stale, you can make it out of sour. Did you eat it? Now just imagine what kind of answer question is it. Did you eat it? Now can you tell a person you ate it? He said, no. What? What sukoon? What peace of mind? Content? Speaking, giving the answer. If we cannot learn from, if someone will tell you, belittle you, I've seen my Hazrat. A person speaking so harshly to him, he says, "Main bera nahi hu." He never said to him, took him to task. If someone have to ask you a question of any kind, how you should respond? If this is what he says when it is fresh, did you eat it? No, when it is fresh, you see flies on it. And flies only sit on sweet things. And when it comes dry, the flies don't go, that is not fresh. So just imagine this one incident of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, teaching us a very big lesson. Would Nabi Karim say, "Oh Allah, assist me in my knowledge, wazayini bil hilm, and beautify it with hilm." If you got all the knowledge and you haven't got hilm in you, you got no knowledge at all. And if you haven't got taqwa in you, then no matter what knowledge you have, the taqwa there. So respect is very important. This is what I was going to say to you, that this is what happened. Respect, I was talking about respect to parents. Now you were supposed to show more respect because you learned everything. Now you know exactly what the status of mother and father. Now if you don't show respect to them, who's going to show respect? Remember, the effect of you will affect the next person. We know very well that the person who's very kind to his mother and father get the sawab, who speaks to the mother with respect and all, get the sawab on Hajj and Umrah. We know about it. Just to look at the mother's face with respect, it's like doing this that you get in there, like kissing the Hajj Aswad. Uwais Qani rahmatullah alayhi was a very great person, very pious person at the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His desire was to meet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much desire is, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your mother is sick, look after her. You and I, we got desires of our own. Your mother tell you, I'm sick, you know what, don't go anywhere, I'm going straight. Yet there's what bigger desire than greater desire to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there any bigger desire than see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much he must be crying, he said, I cannot see him. But my mother comforted the Nabi Karim, what he said, I must follow it. Today, if your mother and father tell you something, not against the law of Allah, for their own benefit and God, for your benefit to tell you something, you still go against them. This is what the Kitab of Allah teaches. My men and those, I'm telling you, my friend, if you come more close to Allah Ta'ala and close to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do not know how Allah Ta'ala will become so close to the people. Allah Ta'ala will make their hearts come towards you as long as you don't have that yet. We know that hadith very well, that Nabi sallallahu Allah Ta'ala said to Allah, Jibreel, I love this person so much, you must love that person. Jibreel alayhi sallam, make sure he say the people, the other farishtas, Allah love this person, no one loves that. No one loves you. Allah put the love in your person. Oh Jibreel, tell the others, that Jibreel alayhi sallam, tell the others, the day after you come to the world, then Allah Ta'ala put the heart of the people that love this person because we love it. So our main object is, why did you become an alim? For what you became an alim? The purpose to become an alim is only one thing, is I want to understand Allah Ta'ala. I want to follow His commands. I want to follow. I want to follow the Sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu in my life, my whole life, I follow Nabi. That can only come into you if you respect it. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi for 1 year, he served his mother. He did not even go for madrasa, nothing, no knowledge. After that, the uruj that he had, only Allah knows how much. Just by looking after his mother for 1 year, he stopped all in madrasa, everything, just look after his mother for 1 year. Day after, the uruj Allah gave. And remember one thing, do not claim anything. Do not claim nubuwat. Nabi could say something, is haq. Do not claim nubuwat means what you say, you think is haq. Then anyone else tells you something you not want to accept. You must learn to accept. And always remember to learn to accept and come to put yourself down. The greatest quality for a woman, for every moment, is humble. If someone has to call you alim, you say alhamdulillah. If someone calls you haji, someone say alhamdulillah. Humility is my knowledge, not tanya Allah ta'ala. You are everything to me. If someone calls you a son, or someone calls you something, it does not call you mulana, it must not affect you anything. It must say, alhamdulillah, someone is calling me haji, someone. Everyone calling me mulana, and respect ustad is very important. Respect ustad, Allahu Akbar. Respect of ustad is so important, it's very important for respect. The respect of ustad is this, that Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, in front of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, he should open the pages and make sure there must be no sound to Allahu Akbar. When he opened the page of the kitab, he made sure that the thing must not make any sound to hurt. That's why they got the knowledge of that kind too. Another student of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he should be frightened to see and look at the face of the ustad. He should make sure he don't drink water in front of the ustad. Today, you know, the students put their feet long, ustad passing by the world, jane do. They say ustad. If the ustad is passing by too, the way you were sitting down, they were sitting again like, but Hazrat is coming, no Hazrat in front of you. The more you respect the ustad, the more the knowledge become more near to you. Ustad is very important. Imam Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, if someone teach me one harf also, one harf, one letter also, I become his slave. He can decide, he can free me, but he can still keep me as a slave. What is all this we're hearing for what? However, the most important thing is respect also. Respect. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, one day his mother asked him a question. It so happened that he told his mother, I'll give you that answer. Why I'm telling you this? Because you'll be facing with the Hazrat told us the same thing. I'm telling it to you all now. You know, the mother asked one question. He says that, I'll give you the answer. Says, I don't want the answer from you. They're Molana, they're going to ask you that Molana. Bahut acha. You didn't go fight with the mother now. I'm right in front of you. Why don't you ask me? Don't want. He went there to ask that Molana. Bichara, Molana said, I don't know the answer. He said, I don't know the answer. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, don't worry, I'll give you the answer. And then you give me the answer, I'll tell my mother the answer. You know what you will do? You'll go there and tell your mother, you'll send me for nothing there. He'd like this and he'd like that and like that. Bicharo ko khatam kar de. Alim ka ye kaam nahi hai. Alim ka wo kaam. He said, straight away he came and told the ustaz, said the Mawlana, said, this is the answer. And never said anything more than that. So adab for the ustaz is very important. Adab for ustaz. One, in Sahib Hidayah mentioned one person in Bukhara. He is giving a dars of the Bukhari Sharif. And he sees that ustad waking up every time. Hazrat, why are you waking up? He said, my ustad's son walking past. My ustad's son walking past, that's why I'm waking up. My ustad's son is walking past, that's why I'm waking up. That's how ustad. The more adab you have, the more respect you have too. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when one in the classroom is waking up all the time, 3-4 times, the student asking, what are you waking up for? He said, one ustad of mine passing by, and that was a non-Muslim ustad too. whether non-Muslim, Muslim, or the Ustad, you walk it. Say, what is your Ustad? He said, yes, what have you learned from this Ustad? He said, I learned this much. I did not know whether, when the dog reaches the age of puberty. So this person taught me that whenever the dog lift up his leg to urinate, it reached the age of puberty. He became my Ustad now. Itni qadar ki is cheez ke liye jo Islam ke sath koi taluq nahi hai. So that person who is Ustad, true Ustad, who taught in the Quran and Hadith, how much of respect will have for that Ustad? He will not even stretch his feet toward the Ustad also. He will not raise his voice at all. So this knowledge that you got is not a small thing. Not a small thing. Any amount of thanks to Allah Ta'ala, the only way you can thank Allah Ta'ala is to make mutala and kitab the kitab. Learn more and more. The only thing that increases the one's life is knowledge, nothing else. Money you can have, it goes away. Knowledge is something you cannot go. All the money you can have, it goes away. But knowledge is something, it grows and bigger and bigger. And how it grows? When you put into your life. I'll end up with this one incident. With a very short one. Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmatullah Ali. A small man. Very big man. Very big man. For him to say a person is someone is something else. When he was passing away, he had a shami in his hand. Shami. Just few minutes before he passed, few hours before he passed. Someone asked him, Hazrat, what is this now to you in this thing? This is our life. This is our life. That till the end when you're going, you must be able to be with the kitab all the time. Kitab all the time. Your food might be something else, but this is your main food. Then inshallah, the knowledge that you have, it will be spread to everyone else, and side by side, will be barakat in your life also. So make dua to Allah Ta'ala that your life be complete. Ulama ikram, Allah Ta'ala must give you the hidayat of being example of following the sunnah tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And make sure this month that the kitab must be forced in front of. And remember, the respect of kitab is very important. Respect of ustad is very important. Through that, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will barakat and izzat. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillah.
We say jazakallah khairan to Hazrat Mawlana Daun Barakatuhu for his very, very pertinent and valuable advices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice upon this. Before we move on to our next item, I have two announcements. There's one vehicle, a white Kia Sportage, NU18791. A white Kia Sportage, NU18791. This vehicle is obstructing. Can the owner of the vehicle please remove this vehicle? And secondly, my dear brothers, I know the crowd is big. There are brothers who are sitting outside waiting to come in. So humble request once again, my dear brothers, I try to fill up all the gaps so that those who are sitting outside can find some space in the masjid. Jazakallahu khairan. Inshallah, our next item on today's program will be a nazam that will be rendered by Mawlana Sufyan Taylor, who is also one of the students who will be graduating today. This nazam, this poetry is keeping in line with the main program of today's gathering, and that is the Khatam of the Bukhari Sharif. The nazam is entitled Marhaba Afari Ronake Diltashi Bazmi Khatmi Bukhari Ki Ayigiri. That the composer welcomes and congratulates each one of us for being part of this wonderful and heartwarming gathering, and that is the Bazmi Khatmi Bukhari, the gathering of the Khatmi Bukhari. And the composer goes on to say, Dilye Masoor bi, Dilye Ghamgin bi, Bazmi Bukhari ki aayi gari. He says that while we sit here, the students sit here, in the heart there are mixed emotions. On one hand, the student is joyous, he's happy, because he has now reached the end and is graduating from his formal studies. But on the other hand, there is that sadness in the heart that the many beautiful years we spent in the madrasa studying is now coming to an end. And those friends of ours who we spent many years alongside them learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now be parting ways. So inshallah we call upon Mawlana Sufyan to render his narration.
مرحبا آفري
رونق دل کشی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. جام علم و وفا تجھ سے پیتے رہے علم کے سائے میں تیرے جیتے رہے علم کے سائے میں تیرے جیتے رہے. یاد آئے گی ہم کو تیری میں کشی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. ہم نشینو سنو راہ دانو سنو اے شہ انبیاء کے دیوانو سنو اے شہ انبیاء کے دیوانو سنو. جو پڑھے تم سبق جو پڑھے تم سبق بھولنا نہ کبھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. ظلمتوں کی سیاہ ہی سے لڑتے رہے ہم چراغِ خدا بن کے جلتے رہے ہم چراغِ خدا بن کے جلتے رہے. ہم چلے تجھ سے لے کر تیری روشنی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. تیری فرقت کا بس سوچ کر جامعہ پاؤں اٹھتے نہیں دل نہیں مانتا پاؤں اٹھتے نہیں دل نہیں مانتا. چاند سے دور ہو کیسے اب چاندنی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی. رشتہ قرآن سے ہر گز نہ تم توڑنا راہ اسلام ہرگز نہ تم چھوڑنا راہ اسلام ہرگز نہ تم چھوڑنا تم سے احقر کی بس ہے گزارش یہی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی مرحبا آفرین رونق دل کشی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی دل یہ مسرور بھی دل یہ غمگین بھی بزم ختم بخاری کی آئی گھڑی
MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, we say Jazakallah to Mawlana Sufyan for a very, very beautiful rendition. I see there were quite a few wet eyes in the crowd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon the very, very important advices that have been given in this poetry. InshaAllah, next program, our next item on the program will be a talk by another very senior alim of our country, Hazrat Mawlana Hassan Dokran Sahib, Daum Barakatuhum. Mawlana was an ustad in Darul Zakaria, Darul Ulum Azadwal for many, many years. And Mawlana is the ustad of many of the ulama here in Durban, around the country, and in other parts of the world. Mawlana is, including our Muhtamim Sahib, our respected principal, Hazrat Mawlana Mutala Sahib Daum Barakatuhum. Mawlana is the Khalifa of Hazrat Mawlana Ayyub Surti Daum Barakatuhum, who is the Khalifa of Mawlana Abrar Haq Sahib Hardoi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Currently, Mawlana is the principal of two madrasas, Madrasatul Sadiqeen for the males and Madrasatul Sadiqat for the females out in Robertsham in Johannesburg. So we call upon Hazrat Mawlana to address us. My dear brothers, a few announcements. There are a few cars that are blocking. Humble request to all these brothers to kindly remove your vehicles. Firstly is the vehicle NP77011, a Toyota Corolla Grey. Second vehicle, ND51250, a grey polo. Number three is ND504940, a white Mercedes-Benz. Request is those who cannot find parking or the cars are not parked properly, please move your car to the school grounds. Inshallah, there is parking available.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين Respected علماء brothers السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته When I asked Mali Naeem just now how long should I speak for he said a few minutes So I told him, in Mawlana Katani's language, few minutes would mean not less than half an hour. Akhir, I'd rather stick to my language. Just a few moments, inshallah. This program wasn't scheduled, but anyway, Mawlana insisted that I must say a few words, so I will say a few words, inshallah. First of all, I want to say Mubarak Badi and congratulate the parents of these young men who are graduating today. It was their encouragement, and of course other members of the family who have encouraged them, it was their encouragement that they encouraged the youngsters to go out and seek knowledge of Deen. Then I want to congratulate also the principal of the madrasa, the founder and principal of the madrasa and his dedicated staff, We have worked so hard on these students for 6 years, literally burning the midnight oil to give you ilm. Appreciate that. Never forget that. And then I want to appreciate the public also, the areas from where these boys have come from. This is what you call a tremendous thing that in your region, your area, you people had created a mahal, an environment where these youngsters would come and stay, take knowledge. And lastly, of course, I want to congratulate you also, the students, who are graduating today, who spend so much time in a madrasa, sacrifice so much to take the ilm of deen. Remember, you're not losers, you are winners. This ilm is such a dear matter, such a dear thing, ya Allah. We cannot imagine what this ilm is all about. It's the difference between darkness and light. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Impossible, we cannot be equal. Allah has given you knowledge, my brothers. Appreciate this knowledge. However, the one or two things I just want to mention here, yeah, concerning your responsibilities now. We learn from our asatiza, we learn from their asatiza, that on graduation, you are not an alim yet. You now have the potential, the ability to become an alim. For 6 years we were with your teachers who guided you, assisted you. Now you have to go into the world on your own and become alims. Allah give you the tawfiq to become alim by Allah. In regard to this year, I just have to mention one or two small things again. Not small, but very important. Maulana mashallah spoke before me, he mentioned so much about the adab, ilm, all your responsibilities, etc. I just want to add one or two things here. Firstly, as alims, know, in fact, rather maintain your izzatun nafs, your self-respect. Maintain your self-respect. Right. This is very important. Your honor and dignity and respect is so essential to have an effect among the people also. Besides the fact that Allah will reward you, Allah wants that, but you ought to keep this in mind all the time. Your Ustad Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, Allahu Akbar. You're not going to get a better example than Imam Bukhari as far as izzatun nafs is concerned. He kept away. He was never desirous of the dunya. And what you call, as far as the kings were concerned, you people know that when the king asked him to come to his court to teach him, Imam Bukhari refused to teach him and his children. He said, if you want ilm, al-ilmu yu'ta ilayhi. You want ilm, you come to me. Not that I come to you. So first thing, I'm going to give it to you very brief. We don't have time. We want to finish off here. Yeah? You just mentioned that the time for Khidmat Bukhari has come. So let's leave it at that. But this one thing, maintain your self-respect in every sense of the word. I'm not going to elaborate. I take it that you understand. Secondly, another point I want to drive home is that show respect to this ilm. Allah has given you a tremendous ilm. Don't go about interpreting or misinterpreting what you call the nusus of the Quran and the nusus of the Hadith. Stick to what you know and understand of the Quran and the Hadith. Don't look for loopholes here and loopholes there. Understand? This will give you itminan qalbi. You will have tranquility in your heart when you stick to the meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah. Don't let us change. Sometimes we use the word ta'wil, but it's not ta'wil, it's tahrif. Tahrif and ma'nawi. So for Allah's sake, stick to the nusus of Quran and Sunnah. Don't move away from it. Your respect is in that. Sukun qalbi is in that. Your heart will be contented in that. Allah give us all the tawfiq. I've read an ayat at the beginning that just explained this ayat, yeah? You all heard it, mashallah, when you hear Maulana reading, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin, sadiqin. Then you think of the khanqah. Like when the Jamaat brothers read, what's that ayat? What's it? Right, giving amr bil ma'ruf, then already you know this is a Jamaat bayan. But this is a khanqah bayan. Okay. Listen here, it's a very important ayat, this year. Allahu Akbar, there are three fundamentals mentioned in this ayat. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, iman, that's the fundamental. Ittaqullaha taqwa. In other words, it incorporates ilm. How can you have taqwa if you don't have ilm? What does taqwa mean? Taqwa means what you call to fulfill Allah's commands and to refrain from the wrongdoing. Right. So you require ilm for that also. So iman has been mentioned, ilm has been mentioned, and finally sahbat has been mentioned. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. You see how important that sahbat is. Allah mentions it there, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. My young brothers, and some are not so young anyway, but Allah Ta'ala has emphasized the sahbat of the salihin. of the muttaqeen, of the saliqeen. The fact that the Sahaba ikram, we don't call them talib ilm, we call them Sahaba. They are not called talib ilm. They were talib ilm. They were all students of deen. But we, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Syria gave them the title of Sahaba. Sohbat. Those who sat in the sohbat of the Ahlullah, of the Asadiza. My dear young brothers, don't do anything without making mashwara of your Asadiza. Making mashwara with the Ahl al-Ilm, with the Ahl al-Sohbat. That's the only way you will reach some what you call form of success. Ulama Mufti Saidi is here, he's going to talk to you, but he'll tell you also about it. It's so important, maintain Sohbat. All your scholars, all the kitabs, authors, if you check their histories, they were all in the Sohbat of the Ahlullah. Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah, all of them, they were not freelancers. They sat in a company of sulaha. Make mashwara with your teachers and the saliqeen. And in this way, inshaAllah, you will be a successful alim. Allah Ta'ala, what you call, reward you. Allah reward your parents, as I said, your asatiza. And maintain and keep up the, what you call, banner of deen in a correct manner. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
We say jazakallah khairan to Hazrat Maulana Ta'ala barakatuhum for gracing our function with his esteemed presence. Maulana has traveled from Johannesburg and come especially for this program. Allah Ta'ala reward him greatly. Major respected elders and brothers, we will now move on inshallah to the main item of today's program, and that is the Khatmul Bukhari, the completion of the Bukhari Sharif. I was requested to say a few words prior to the lesson. I was requested to say a few words regarding this great kitab, Sahih al-Bukhari, and the great author, Al-Imam Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. What much can one say about that kitab, which has earned the title of As-Sahh al-Kutub Ba'da Kitabillah? That after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran, there is no book on the face of the earth that is more authentic than the Bukhari Sharif. And what much can a person say about that personality, Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, who has earned the title of Amir al-Mu'minina fil Hadith, the leader of the faithful in the field of Hadith. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala developed the thirst for acquiring the sciences of deen, ulumuddin, from a very, very young age. And like all the other scholars, muhaddithin of his time, he began traveling the length and the breadth of the Muslim lands in search of and acquiring the blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Historians record that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala traveled no lesser than 14,000 kilometers, sometimes on foot, sometimes on the back of an animal, in search of the blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the various muhaddithin and scholars of the Muslim lands. And in this time, in this period of time, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala amassed and learned 600,000 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala spent 16 years of his life compiling the Bukhari Sharif. Starting off his kitab in the blessed haram of Makkah Mukarramah, and 16 years later completing his Bukhari Sharif in al-Masjid al-Nabawi, the blessed masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala will not include any of the plus minus 7,200 ahadith of his Bukhari Sharif into his kitab until he will take a ghusl and then read two rakats of salah and then make fervent dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah subhanahu to guide him and for Allah subhanahu to accept this endeavor of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Jazallahu Imaman al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala wa nafa'ana bi'ulumihi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Imam Bukhari rahimahullah handsomely for this great service that he has rendered to the ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to benefit from the great knowledge of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. One can well imagine that the sacrifice behind this kitab and the 14,000 odd rakats read every time before Imam Bukhari had put a hadith in his kitab, one can well imagine the barakat, the blessings and the nur and the virtue of this kitab. My dear brother, alhamdulillah, today we have 17 students who will be competing, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Majid respect elders and brothers, these students have spent the last 7 years of their life in the madrasa, starting off with studying Arabic and the different branches of the Arabic language, and then amongst other things moving on to studying fiqh, al-fiqh al-islami, and studying tafsir of the Holy Quran, and then studying other sciences of ulum as well. And then during the last year, these students of the final year who will be graduating today, they spend their time studying the works of the major works of hadith, including the 6 authentic books of hadith, which you know as the Siha Sitta, as well as other works of hadith. And alhamdulillah, the entire Bukhari Sharif was studied the entire year, and now the last chapter of the Bukhari Sharif remains, which will be inshallah taught to them and will be delivered before them. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept them. May Allah Ta'ala use them for the khidmat of the deen. My dear brothers, we have the names of the students who will be completing today. Mulana, in no particular order, Mulana Ahmed Rida, the son of Haji Faiz Ibrahim of Overport. Mulana Zahir Sataria, the son of Marhum Hussein Sataria of Clare Estate. Mulana Muhammad Bilal Akhtar, the son of Haji Muhammad Akhtar of Overport. Mulana Sufyan Taylor, the son of Qari Muhammad Hanif Taylor Sahab of Morningside. Mulana Muhammad Ilyas Jiwa, the son of Haji Ghulam Muhammad Jiwa of Overport. Mulana Arshad Katani, the son of Haji Shokat Katani of Musgrave. Mulana Umar Marchi, the son of Marhum Salim Marchi of Sherwood. Mulana Safwan Ahmed, the son of Mulana Abid Ahmed Sahab of Verlam. Mulana Abdullah Khan, the son of Haji Ayub Amir Khan of Overport. Mulana Suhail Padia, the son of Haji Muhammad Padia of Palok. Mulana Shakir Makta, the son of Mulana Junib Makta Sahab of Clare Estate, and the grandson of Hazrat Mulana Abdul Haq Makta Sahab, Dam Barakatuh. Mulana Huzaifa Mutara, the son of Mulana Ahmed Mutara of Hillgrove, Newlands West. Mulana Bilal Soni, the son of Haji Dr. Muhammad Soni of Lalusha. Mulana Usama Patel, the son of Mulana Muhammad Hanif Patel Sahab of Overport. Mulana Riyad Hassan, the son of Haji Ismail Hassan of Sherwood. Mulana Riyaz Day, the son of Marhum Ahmed Day of Westville. And Mulana Dr. Yusuf Amir, the son of Haji Hassan Amir of Ashville. I think it's worth mentioning as a means of encouragement for all of us, and to highlight what sacrifice and perseverance of a person can achieve. The last two names that I mentioned, Mulana Riyaz Day and Mulana Yusuf Amir. Mulana Riyaz Day is a qualified chartered accountant, and Mulana Yusuf Amir is a qualified urologist. Mulana Riyaz Day has been studying at our madrasa on a part-time basis for the last 12 years. And Mulana Yusuf Amir has been studying at our madrasa on a part-time basis for the last 16 years. Subhanallah. And alhamdulillah, over the last year or so, they have made great and tremendous sacrifices. And they have made great tremendous sacrifices. They have cut down the times of their careers and given more time to studying at madrasa. And alhamdulillah, today they are graduating as ulama, a very, very remarkable and great achievement indeed. Alhamdulillah, my dear brothers, we are very, very fortunate that the last lesson of the Bukhari Sharif will be conducted by a very, very senior mufti and alim of our country, Hazrat Mulana Muhammad Saeed Mutarasa. Mulana Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Saeed Mutarasa, Daum Barakatuhum, is the Khalifa of Hazrat Faqir Ummah, Mufti Mahmood al-Hassan Gangoi, Rahmatullah Alayhim, as well as the Khalifa of Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri Sahib, Daum Barakatuhum. Hazrat Mufti Sahib had studied his hibs in India under the tutorship of Hazrat Mulana Abrar Haq Sahib Hardoi, Rahmatullah Alayhim, and then Hazrat Mufti Sahib traveled to Dabel and study his alim course in Jamia Islamia Ta'limuddin in Dabel. And after completing his alim course, Mulana traveled to Dioban to study the iftar course under Hazrat Faqir Ummat, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangoi, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Currently, Hazrat Mufti Sahib is the head of the fatwa department in Darul Ulum Azadville. And Mulana is a very, very senior lecturer of hadith and fiqh and other sciences as well in Darul Ulum Azadville. Mulana Hazrat Mufti Sahib is the ustad of many, many ulama in our country as well as abroad. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib is also the ustad of our respected Muhtamim Sahib, our respected principal, Hazrat Mu'in Naim Mutala Sahib, Daum Barakatuhum. So we humbly request Hazrat Mufti Sahib to come forward, inshallah, and deliver the final lesson for us.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل من الشيخ الفاضل المفتي محمد سعيد متارى حفظه الله إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة بن بردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمه الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن وقال مجاهد القسطاس العدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر وبه إليه قال حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعطاء عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض الحمد لله الذي جعل الليل والنهار الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا الكتاب وجعله هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان الحمد لله الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة الحمد لله الذي أعزنا وأكرمنا بالعلماء الربانيين والقراء الفائقين والمفسرين والمحدثين المحبين والأئمة المجتهدين ومن تبعهم إحسان إلى يوم الدين الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وأعزنا بالإمام الحافظ الهمام الحجة رئيس المحدثين أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى نفعنا الله بعلومه وفيوضه الحمد لله الذي أعزنا بهذا الكتاب العزيز الذي يتصف بأصح الكتب بعد كتاب الله وهو الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه وبعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن خير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها وأن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد باب قول الله تعالى ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن وقال مجاهد القسطاس والعدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. معزز علماء الكرام, respected and beloved students of Deen, my beloved elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I wish to extend Mubarakbad, my congratulations to these young ulama who are graduating today, emerging as another batch of ulama, fudala, that will inshallah be an asset to Deen, that Allah Ta'ala makes inshallah beacons of hidayah for the entire globe, for the entire world inshallah. Mubarakbad, congratulations also, besides the students, to the asatiza of the students who have made an effort on them, the administration of the madrasa, the well-wishers of the madrasa, and everyone else who was instrumental in letting this occasion reach this milestone where the students are graduating today. May Allah accept from all of them. There is an old adage, a proverb, a saying that goes that an apple does not fall far from the tree. What does this mean in the context of the students graduating? Until you are students of the madrasa, you are part and parcel of the trees of the flourishing garden of Deen. You are attached to the trees of this madrasa. Now that you are emerging as ulama, leaving the four walls of the madrasa, you are detaching yourself from this flourishing garden, from the tree. The apple has now detached and cut off from the tree. But the adage says, the apple does not fall far from the tree. So the message here is that the ethos, the norms, the values, the manhaj, the mizaj, which the madrasa and the asatiza instilled into you, although you have got cut off from the tree, you do not fall far from the tree, which means that you must still maintain that manhaj, that mizaj, that ethos, those norms and values that were instilled into you. That is very, very important. The fitnas in the world out there are countless. The shaitan and the nafs, avowed enemies of man, wanting to lead man astray. Many a time we find that these students that detach themselves from the garden of the madrasa, Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Many of them tend to think that now that we have been cut off from the tree, we have no need to ascribe to that same ethos, norms, values, manhaj, mizaj of the madrasa. We are now independent. We have become muhaqqiqeen. We are mujtahideen in our own right. We can do what we want to. This, unfortunately, is the foundation and the recipe for destruction, for failure. So very, very important, the norms and values and the manhaj, mizaj, that the madrasa and the asatiza instill into you to maintain that. When we say the apple does not fall far from the tree, this also indicates that you should keep close to your alma mater, to the madrasa that has benefited you, where you studied. Many challenges in the world out there, which you will be facing, you will be faced by, so to say, a brick wall. You would not know how to resolve the matter. So important to keep that connection. The apple does not fall far from the tree. You remain close to your alma mater, to your asatiza. When you are faced by these challenges that you cannot resolve, revert to your asatiza. Revert to the administration. Seek counsel from them. Take the advice. Inshallah, then you will be successful in combating those challenges that you will meet in the outside world. So that is very, very important. These young ulama, alhamdulillah, are graduating today.
This is a culmination of approximately 6 years of tireless effort. And as we heard, alhamdulillah, some of the graduating fudala have spent even many, many more years before they could reach this milestone. So a lot of effort was required. So in making this type of effort, we can all the more appreciate the effort put into this book, into this kitab, by the compiler, Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh. The 16 years of arduous effort before this kitab could reach fruition, before it could be presented to the Muslim world, 16 years of effort. From a memory bank of approximately 600,000 ahadith, he first sifted 100,000 ahadith, and then he pored over those 100,000 ahadith before picking and choosing a little over 7,000 ahadith, about 7,275 ahadith with repetitions, which he recorded in this book. And that too, as you heard from the MC, before he would pin down any hadith, he would take a ritual bath, take a ghusl, and thereafter he would perform 2 rakat salah with the niyat of istikhara, that Allah Ta'ala must put him at ease, and then only, when his mind was at ease, that this particular hadith is authentic, then only would he commit pen to paper and write that hadith down. So after 16 years in acquiring the hadith to Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, benefited from more than 1,000 asatira. When the book was prepared, complete, until his dying breath, he taught the book personally, he taught the kitab. About 90,000 students read this kitab directly from Imam Bukhari rahmatullah. So we can well appreciate the value of this kitab. When he completed the kitab, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that dua, he presented this kitab while making dua, and he said, جَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حُجَّةِ, that I'm making this kitab as a basis, as a platform, as a foundation, as a testimonial for my salvation in the akhirat. That I've done this for the pleasure of Allah, hoping to attract the fadl, the grace, and the mercy of Allah, that through His grace, He must overlook my faults and forgive me in the akhirat. In this world too, when people go to kings of certain countries, it is expected from the visitor to present some gift, some token to the king. It is part of etiquette. So in the akhirat, on the day of Qiyamah, you'll all have to meet our Creator, the King of all kings. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is indicating that if I were to ask on the day of Qiyamah, what have you brought to present to the King of all kings? I will say, I've brought this kitab, Bukhari Sharif, which is a short name, but the full name of this kitab, Al-Jami'u al-Musnadu al-Sahih al-Mukhtasar min Umuri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sunanihi wa ayyami. So he says, I will have hope that Allah Ta'ala will use this kitab as an excuse for my salvation, for my forgiveness. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, may Allah faliz khabar with nur, he used to sometimes say that if on the day of Qiyamah I am questioned, what have you brought to present, I will put these two buzrugs forward, referring to Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib of Haradoi Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Maulana Qari Siddiq Sahib Bandwi Rahmatullah Alayh. That I have spiritually nurtured them. I made an effort on them. These will be my gifts in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we heard from our Buzurug, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Sahib Mazda, Dawud Barakatum, may Allah tell him long life, strength, health, sihat. Like he mentioned, people like Haji Imdadullah Sahib, Muhajir al-Makki rahmatullah alayhi. He also used to say, that if I were to present something in the court of Allah, I will put forward these two buzrugs, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, and Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanoti rahmatullah alayhi. So nonetheless, this is that magnum opus of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi that he prepared after 16 years of arduous effort. And this man was an amazing personality as far as zuhda and taqwa is concerned. His abstinence from the world, his piety, his taqwa, his devotion to ibadat was something that we cannot even imagine today. On one occasion, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh was busy performing two rakats of Nafal Salah. Lengthy qiraat. He was so focused, immersed in that communication with his Creator. When he made Salam, he completed the Salah. He asked his students that were nearby that I'm lifting the hem of my kurta. There is something that has got into the kurta. Take it out. Investigate what has come into the kurta. When the kurta was lifted, they saw a huge wasp. And the wasp had stung him, according to one report, 70 times. According to another report, 17 times. The whole body was swollen because of the stings delivered by that wasp. But in spite of that, he continued that salah with khushu and khudu. He was unfazed, totally focused towards his Creator when engaged in that salah. This was similar to the case of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majmai. With some of them on the battlefield of jihad, when an arrow would pierce the leg, now to dress the wound, it was necessary to remove the arrow. But there was so much pain, excruciating pain, that the person could not withstand someone pulling out the arrow. So they would say, let him commence his salah. When he would engage in salah, the focus, the concentration, devotion would be so great that that itself was like a spiritual anesthetic. While in salah, they would easily pull that arrow out. You would not feel the pain in the least, but this was how these people are devoted to the ibadat, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As ulama, graduating ulama, we ought to know the knowledge that we have earned, this is the means, the vehicle. The object is to put that knowledge into practice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to propagate it to others as well. We need to learn from our pious predecessors how focused, how devoted they were to the ibadat. Pick up fadail and namaz, virtues of namaz written by Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In there you will read the story of Muhammad bin Sima'a Rahmatullah Ali. He was a student of Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali, who in turn were the students of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. So this Muhammad bin Sima'a was their student. Allah granted him long life. He lived up to 103 years. That was his age when he passed away. But even in that old age, he used to perform daily 200 rakats of Nafal Salah. That's besides his farad. The last 40 years of his life, he never missed his salah, first salah in the masjid was takbir-e-ula. On one occasion, he missed his takbir-e-ula because his mother had passed away. He was engaged in the burial of his mother. That caused a bit of the delay. He still got the namaz with jamaat. He missed his takbir-e-ula, which he regretted very much. But on another occasion, he missed the entire salah. Because he misjudged, miscalculated perhaps the time. Time changes do occur over the seasons. He did not realize the salah was brought forth in that masjid perhaps, and he got delayed. He missed the entire jamaat, salah wa jamaat. He went home, being an alim of deen. He had the hadith of Nabi Sallam in front of him, where Nabi Sallam extolled the virtue of making salah wa jamaat. The salatul rajuli mal jama'a tafdulu ala salatil fal bi 25 darajatan, aw kama qala li salatu salam. The salah that is performed with jama'at is superior to the salah performed individually, 25 times superior. And in some narration it comes 27 times superior. So in order to make up for that, he went home and repeated that salah 25 times. He thought to himself that I have now made up for my shortcoming, for missing salah wa jamaat. But that night when he went to bed, he hears in a dream someone calling out to him that kaifa bita'meen al-malaika, that you may have repeated that salah 25 times to attain that virtue of salah wa jamaat, but you could not attain the barakah, the blessings of the ameen of the malaika. What was this referring to? You have read the hadith when Nabi Sallam says to this effect, إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامِ فَأَمِّنُوا فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ يُؤَمِّنُونَ وَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاةُ السَّلَامِ. When the Imam says Ameen after Waladhalin, although softly, you also say Ameen softly, because the Malaika of Rahmat that are present in the masjid, they too say Ameen. And if your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Malaika, then your sins will all be forgiven. Referring to the minor sins. So this was the indication in the dream, that you may have repeated the salah 25 times, but you have lost this barakah of your iman, your Ameen rather, coinciding with the Ameen of the Malaika. Today, unfortunately, we make a joke out of it. If a brother emerges from the masjid after performing Asr Salah, his friend comes late for Asr. This friend tells him that you are late for Asr. He replies that, no, I am early for Maghrib. We make a mockery of this. We ought to regret missing performing salah in the masjid was jamaat. One buzurug on one occasion, also because of some valid excuse, he missed his jamaat. He thought he still make it. He rushed to the masjid. As he entered the doors, musallis were exiting the masjid. And he let out a sigh of regret, a loud ah. A great wali of Allah. There was another wali of Allah emerging from the masjid. He took this buzruk aside and he said to him that I'm prepared to trade my salah wa jamaat for your one. Ah, this sigh of regret. It has gained such acceptance in the court of Allah. This was Sahib-e Kashf Buzrug. He said that it has become more valuable than the salah which I perform with Jama'ah. So this was a regret at missing salah with Jama'ah. That is a mizaj. That is a temperament that we ought to inculcate within us, within us as well. That we should be punctual with our salah in the masjid with Jama'ah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi used to look for every opportunity to earn reward. On one occasion, he was sitting somewhere, one of his more prominent students, Allama Firabri rahmatullahi, was seated next to him. They were both in a masjid in the house of Allah. Allama Firabri rahmatullahi noticed a speck of dirt, dust, in the beard of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. He took it off the beard of his ustaz. He was about to drop it in the masjid. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi stopped him and said to him, they throw it out of the masjid, not in the masjid. This is the house of Allah. It ought to be kept clean. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi had in his mind the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi Sallam says, "Uridat alayya ujur ummati hatta al-qadhaatu yukhrijuha ar-rajulu min al-masjid." Aw kama qala li sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the rewards of my ummah were presented before me. Among them, the reward granted to a person who sees a speck of dust, a blade of grass perhaps, in the masjid, picks it up, puts it into his pocket, and later takes it out of the masjid to dispose of it. This also accrues a person a great amount of reward. There must have been numerous occasions where Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi similarly found maybe a blade of grass, speck of dirt in the masjid, and he removed it, disposed of it outside. That this is not the work of only the muazzin, or who we refer to as the bangisab. It is the duty of every single musalli. You see any dirt, to pick it up, dispose of it outside of the masjid, not knowing that this little action, seemingly trivial, could become the means for us gaining salvation in the akhirat. Which is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "La tahqiranna min al-ma'ruf shay'a." Do not regard any good deed as trivial. You do not know which good deed may attract the mercy and the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And that could be your ticket to Jannah. You have read the book Sunan Abu Dawud. You may have heard of the incident of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi. On one occasion, he boarded a ship. The ship had just left the shore, slowly but surely proceeding toward deeper waters. Imam Abu Dawud was a passenger on the ship. As it slowly left the shore, he heard someone on the coastline sneezing and then saying, "Alhamdulillah." So being an Imam of Hadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi, he had read the virtue that Muslims have certain rights upon other Muslims. One of those rights, tashmitul hatis. When you hear a person sneezing and saying Alhamdulillah, to reply to that sneeze by saying Yarhamukallah. So he heard the person sneezing, but now if he had to reply, that voice would not have reached that person on the coastline. So he saw a person with a small boat. He clambered off the ship and he requested that person, "They take me to the shore for a little while. I will pay you your due." He said, "Yes, I will charge you 1 dirham to go to the shore and return you to the ship." So he accepted. He paid the 1 dirham. He went to that person who had sneezed and he said to him, "Yarhamukallah." That person in return replied, "Yahdikumullah wa yuslihu balakum." and then returned on that little boat, caught up with the ship, which was still moving slowly, clambered back onto the ship. And that night on the ship, when the people were asleep, it is said all the people, in a dream, they heard a voice calling out, that Ya Ahl al-Safina, Inna Aba Dawud, Ishtara min Allah al-Jannata bi dirhami. That all people of the boat, listen, today Imam Abu Dawud has purchased from Allah Jannat for a mere 1 dirham, which is today about 25 to 30 rands. Just by carrying out the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala granted him Jannat, alhamdulillah. People on the ship asked him, why did you go through all this difficulty? He said, perhaps that man was mustajab al-da'wat. His dua may be accepted. When I said, Yarhamukallah, and he said, Yahdikumullah, perhaps that dua can be accepted in the court of Allah. The same Allama Firabri rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion, he was going to leave home the next morning to attend the lessons of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. At night in his dream, he made ziyarat of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the dream, Nabi Kareem sallallahu asked him, where are you going tomorrow? So he said, into the company, into the sohbat of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. So in the dream, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu tells him, convey my salams to Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari. This is that great personality, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. On one occasion, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh dictated hundreds of ahadith to the same student, Allama Firabri rahmatullah alayh. And he noticed that Allama Firabri, although being a young man, became a bit exhausted. So on that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh consoled him that be happy. There are many people in the outside world having fun, impermissible fun. Many people engaged in earning the coppers of the world, money of the world, in their businesses. Be happy, even though you became exhausted, that you are seated in the spiritual majlis of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if seated in the majlis of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what one poet has said in a beautiful way, that Ahlul Hadithi hum Ahlul Nabiyyi wa in lam yashabu nafsahu anfasahu sahibu. That people were engaged in the teaching and learning of Hadith, even though they were not fortunate to be in the physical presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet by being seated in the Dars of Hadith, they are in the spiritual majlis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, benefiting from the anfasi qudsiya of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, benefiting from the words of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, benefiting from the teaching of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So indeed, this is a great good fortune to have sat throughout the year in the Dars of Hadith, acquiring the hadith. But as I said, acquisition of knowledge is not sufficient. There must be that resolution, that firm intention to put the hadith, the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, into practice, and then in turn to propagate it to others as well. We go on to the kitab. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi had amazing intellect, a great intellectual personality, that he has this knack and their expertise of creating a connection between one part of the kitab and the next. And through that, he sends a message to the reader. For example, in this kitab, the very first hadith that you read, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, the narrators in that chain, in their respective generations, respective times, each narrator is single. He was the only one present when he heard that hadith from his ustaz. Somebody that ustaz from his ustaz. So such a hadith, as we have learned, is known as hadith al-gharib. This last hadith, known as hadith al-tasbih, which was read out, yet to the narrators are single, it is also a hadith al-gharib. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah is giving the message that kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw aabiru sabiq. We have made this journey from the beginning of this kitab to the end of the kitab. We have a journey to undertake in this world too, from birth until death. He's given the message that adopt the message of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Live in this world as though you are a musafir, a traveler, or a bypasser, a wayfarer. Do not attach yourself to the adornment of this world. Use the world for your needs. But other than that, do not be attracted by the glitter and glamour of this world. Focus your aim. Your final abode is the Akhirat, Jannat. So focus towards that. At the same time, by bringing a gharib hadith at the beginning and at the end, he is also indicating towards another hadith of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that bada al Islamu ghariba wa sayaudu ghariba, or kama qala li sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Islam commenced in Makkatul Mukarrama in unfamiliar surroundings. Hostilities were faced by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a small number of Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in before the migration to Medina. So that is how Islam commenced and then it flourished. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns, a time will come before Qiyamah when again the numbers of Muslims will begin to dwindle. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come into the world, Imam Mahdi will come, at that point of time Islam will flourish. The entire world will become Muslim inshaAllah. But when they depart from the world, slowly but surely, shaitan will get a grip again. People will begin to lose their iman. A time will come when not a single Muslim will remain on the face of this earth. That is when Qiyamah will occur. The taqumu sa'a ala shirali al-khalq. Qiyamah will take place on the worst of people, on the kuffar. Muslims will have left the world. La taqumu sa'atu hatta la yuqala fil ard Allah Allah. Qiyamah will not take place until not a single person remains who calls out the name of Allah. Then Qiyamah will take place. So Imam Bukhari is warning, many fitnas out there. Prepare yourselves for those fitnas. Challenges. People out there to rob you of your iman, to snatch away your iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns in a hadith too, that many fitnas will come. قَلْكِتَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُسْلِمِ, like the dark segments of the night, fitnas will come. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. ويصبح مؤمنا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا أو كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And such fitnas will come. Then the person who wake up in the morning as a Muslim mu'min, he will go to bed as a kafir. He will go to sleep as a mu'min, wake up as a kafir. Such will be the fitnas. Recently, Mawlan Sajjad Nomani Rahmatullahi mentioned that thousands of Muslim girls in India have become murtad, apostate, renegade. They have left the fold of Islam. So these hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are manifesting themselves. We have to be prepared to face those challenges. Another connection between the beginning and of the kitab, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, the first kitab in this book is Kitabul Iman. Before that there was just a preamble, كيف كان بدء الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The actual kitab commences from Kitabul Iman. In the preamble to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is giving a message that appreciate the sacrifices of our Nabi Rasulul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what great difficulty he went through in order to receive the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very second hadith at the beginning of Bukhari Sharif, Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha relates that وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ الْوَحْيُ فِي الْيَوْمِ الشَّدِيدِ الْبَرْدِ فيفصم عنه وأن جبينه لا يتفسد عرقا. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha says, I used to notice that the wahi would come upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a bitterly cold winter's night. Yet the burden of the wahi was such that when the wahi would terminate, I would notice beads of perspiration coming down the forehead of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You superspire. Such was the weight of that wahi. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Allah says, if you were to reveal the Quran upon a mountain, even the mountain would humble itself and it would break into smithereens, into pieces. Such is the weight of the wahi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a camel known as Qaswa, which was a very robust, very strong, powerful camel. Yet, when Nabi Karim Sallam used to be on camelback, wahi would come down. Even that camel would buckle under the weight of that wahi. Such was the force and the weight of the wahi. Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radhiyallahu anhu says, on one occasion, I was seated with Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَفَخِذُهُ عَلَى فَخِذِهِ. Nabi Sallam's leg, his thigh, was resting upon my thigh. And he says, at that moment, wahi began to come down. He says, because Nabi Sallam's leg was resting on my leg, I too felt the burden of the wahi to such an extent. فَظَنَنْتُ أَنْ سَتُرَدَّ فَخِذِي. I thought that perhaps my thigh, my leg will shatter into pieces. Such was the weight of the wahi. So in the preamble, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi wants to indicate, appreciate the sacrifices of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also appreciate that the cornerstone of our deen is wahi. One is wahi matlu, the Quran Karim, and wahi ghair matlu is the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then he began with Kitab al-Iman, he ended with Kitab al-Tawheed, which is another way of putting forward Imaniyat, Aqaid, which means he commends the Kitab with Iman, concludes with Iman. This is what the Sufia pious people refer to in these words, Husna Mabda wa Husna Maqta. Then he commends the kitab with the beautiful fragrance of Iman, and he concludes with the beautiful fragrance of Iman. Khitamuhu Misk, as if applying beautiful fragrance of Mushk, Musk, on the completion of this kitab. Some Sufya refer to this as saying that Ar-Ruju min al-Nihaya ila al-Bidaya. That as we come close to our death, about to leave the world, let us also ponder, Allah Ta'ala brought us into the world with Iman, let us maintain that Iman. Make an effort on that Iman, so that we leave the world with Iman. He also is giving a message that kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child comes into the world with the inherent quality of Iman. It is the parents that then begin to nurture the child. If the child is born into a Jewish home, is brought up under Judaism, in a Christian home, under Christianity, in a fire worshipper's home, as a fire worshipper, mushrik, in a Muslim's home, as a Muslim. So by ending the kitab with Iman, Imam Bukhari indicates that keep making dua for husna khatima, that Allah Ta'ala take us from the world with Iman. Abu Zur'a, rahmatullahi, a famous muhaddith, when he was in the throes of death, his students were around him. Instruction of Nabi Karim Sa'azam, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When a person is in the throes of death, make talqeen of the kalima la ilaha illallah. In other words, recite audibly the kalima so that he can be encouraged to leave the world with iman. Because another hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallam says, man kan akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. So the students adopted a unique approach of making talqeen. They began reciting the sanad, the chain of narrators of this hadith that says the person whose last words are the kalima will go into Jannah. They read the chain of narrators, and deliberately the student who was reading, he created the impression that he had forgotten the next part of the chain of narrators as if he got stuck. So Abu Zur'a rahmatullahi, being a muhaddith himself, in that condition, he read the rest of the sanad of the chain of narrators. He came to the text of the hadith, man kan akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. That's when his ruh departed. He left the world. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi used to relate this incident to us, and he would say that the commentators of hadith have expressed a bit of regret that Imam Zur'a rahmatullahi was unable to complete the text of the hadith, the last words, dakhala al-jannah. Before that, his soul was extracted. Commentators express regret. Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi used to say that one of my asatidah would say, there is nothing to regret about. Because sometimes a text can be completed verbally, sometimes it can be completed by action. So here, inshallah, by action, dakhal al-jannah. That he entered jannah, inshallah. So in this way, to Imam Bukhari is tying up the beginning of the kitab with the end of the kitab. This last chapter, he commences with a verse of the Quran, verse number 47 of Surah Al-Anbiya. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That we will erect the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah, indicating that our amal, our actions will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. There will be a physical scale there, in which we shall have two pens. In one pen our good deeds will be placed, in the other pen our sins, our gunas will be placed. If the good deeds outweigh the evil deeds, that will be a good sign that the person will gain salvation. He will be given his book of deeds also in his right hand. He will be granted entry into Jannah. Allah may curse among those fortunate people. On the other hand, if the evil deeds outweigh the good deeds, that person will unfortunately have to go in the other direction towards Jahannam. So there will be a physical scale there. In this last section, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, while promoting and proving the aqaid of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, at the same time, he makes a refutation of the deviant sects and groups that had corrupt beliefs. Among them, a group known as Mu'tazila. The founder of the group was a person by the name of Wasil bin Atta. He used to frequent the majalis of Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh. Eventually, shaitan got the better of him. His beliefs became corrupted. He left the majlis of Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh was a bit intrigued. He wanted to know that why is he no longer coming to my lessons. Then someone explained to him that he has now veered on a different path from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. On that, Hassan al-Basri said, "I'tazalana Wasil." Wasil has sidelined us. So from that was coined this word Mu'tazila. Those people who have sidelined the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat and adopted their own corrupt beliefs. So one of the pivotal beliefs is this, that any verse of the Quran, any hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, acceptance of that verse or hadith by face value will depend on common logic, on common reason. That if that hadith as it stands, face value, in a literal sense, if it appeals to our logic, we will accept it at face value. If it does not appeal to us, we will then make a different interpretation and not accept the literal meaning of that verse or the hadith. So yet too, although the Quran says that we will erect the scale of justice to weigh the actions of man, these Mu'tazila say, Allah has no need to weigh the actions of man. Allah is alimun bidhati sudur. He knows what is in our hearts, in our bosoms too. He knows the good deeds of man, the evil deeds of man. Allah does not need to ascertain by means of a scale. We need to do that. We go to the supermarket, you buy some vegetables, put it into a little packet. You don't know how much it weighs, neither does the shopkeeper know. It's only when it's put onto the scale, they see the weight, and according to the rate, he attaches a price to the packet, you pay that price. So they don't necessarily to weigh, because they do not know the weight. Allah knows the weight. So what is the need to weigh the actions? The answer to this is, itmamul hujjah. Allah knows it already. But to put to rest this person's argument, that he must not argue that my evil deeds did not overwhelm my good deeds. He will see it with his own eyes, seeing is believing. That my pain of evil deeds has outweighed the pain of good deeds. It will also be proof for other onlookers on the day of Qiyamah. That if this person went into Jannah, it is because he attracted the fadl of Allah by virtue of his good deeds. And so went to Jahannam because he attracted the wrath, the anger of Allah, because of his evil deeds. So other people will also be convinced This is the reason for why Mu'tazila also say, Amal are something abstract, intangible. The words I am speaking, they come out of my lips into the air, disappear into thin air. You cannot catch it, put it into your pocket. Where's this handkerchief, this microphone you can hold on to? It is tangible. It has a physical body. So amal actions, person make ruku, sujood, is done, over. It cannot be captured, not be put into a bag. So something that is intangible, abstract, how can that be weighed? Reply to this has been given by our ulama, that Allah Ta'ala has many ways in which He can weigh the amal, even though they are abstract. One theory put forward, cited by Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayh and Muhyusunna Allama Baghawi rahmatullahi, that the actual person will be weighed. He will be put onto the scale. In the world he may be a giant, robust, tall and burly person, but if his good deeds were very little in number, on that scale of deeds, he will be very light. He will not be heavy. In one hadith it comes, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِ الرَّجُلُ الْعَظِيمُ السَّمِينُ لَا يَزِنُ عِنَّ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا أو كما قال الرسول. A robust, hefty person will be brought. But on a scale of deeds, he will not even equal the wing of a mosquito. His good deeds will not even be that much. Another proof, that perhaps the person himself will be weighed. One occasion, Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala climbed onto a tree to break a branch for his miswak. He was a very thin person. So when a gust of wind blew, moved his lungi a bit, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the bottom of the tree, noticed his thin and scrawny shins. وَكَانَ دَقِيقَ السَّاقَيْنِ. He had very thin shins. They began to laugh. Nabi Sallam asked them, مِمَّنْ تَلْحَكُونَ. What are you laughing about? So قَالُوا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مِنْ دِقَّةِ سَاقَيْ. We could not control our laughter when we noticed how thin and scrawny his shins are. On that Nabi Sallam said, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَهُمَا أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ أُحُدْ. أو كما قال الرسول. In physical appearance, the shins may be very, very thin and scrawny. But on the day of Qiyamah, they will be more weightier than the Mount of Uhud as well. This also indicates the person himself could be weighed. Another theory put forward by Abu Abdullah At-Tabari, Abu Abbas Tabari, Imam Razi, Allama Mahmud Alusi, Rahmatullahi. These people say that the book of deeds will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. They will be put onto those pens. That will be weighed. Book of good deeds in one pen, book of evil deeds in the other pen. Proof of this, Hadithul Bitaqa in Tirmidhi Sharif, that a person will come on the day of Qiyamah. His book of evil deeds will be thrown open before him. فِيهَا ذُنُوبُهُ وَسَيِّئَاتُهُ. And he will feel that I am a failure. I am doomed to go towards Jahannam, to destruction. He will be asked, أَتُنْكِرُ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا. Do you deny any of these evil deeds? He will not be able to deny. Then it will be said to him, إِنَّ لَكَ عِنْدَنَا حَسَنًا. We have one good deed of yours with us. What is that good deed? The hadith goes on to say, ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْبِطَاقَةِ. A small piece of paper will be brought. فِيهَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. On that piece of paper will be written the shahadatain, kalima. He will have 99 journals of evil deeds that will be put on the pen of evil deeds. And this little, seemingly insignificant piece of paper with a kalima written, which he recited in the world with sincerity, that will be put onto the pen of good deeds. That will outweigh those 99 books of evil deeds. And that will decide his salvation with the grace of Allah. A third theory, Abdullah bin Abbas said, Al-A'malu yatajassadu. That perhaps the actions themselves will be given a physical form. That will be put on the scale. That's also a possibility. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi and many others, they say the actual amal will be weighed. Even though they are abstract, intangible, Allah has the qudrat and the power of weighing something abstract, intangible as well. In today's age of technology, it is not something far-fetched. We have thermometers that measure the temperature of a person, if he's feverish or not. We have tools, instruments that measure sugar in the blood, blood sugar. Tools that measure oxygen to measure blood pressure. Whereas all these things, temperature, etc., are abstract, intangible. So when man can invent, with the assistance of Allah, instruments that can measure something intangible, so why not the scale of deeds on the day of Qiyamah will also weigh the amal of man in spite of being abstract. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah proves this with the verse of the Quran. He goes on to say, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمْ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَنْ. The actions of mankind and their words, verbal utterances, that too will be weighed. This is something we regard as very trivial. We backbite, we slander. The same Imam Bukhari rahmatullah used to say, أرجو أن ألقى الله ولم يحاسبني أني اختبت أحدا. I have full hope that when I meet my Creator, Allah will not take me to task for having backbitten about anyone. That my whole life, I never made a ghibat about anyone. We have to control our tongue. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Muadh radiallahu ta'ala, while pointing towards his own tongue, Nabi Sallam said, that protect this organ, look after it, do not abuse it. Hazrat Muaz Adhan replied, Ya Rasulullah, anwaakhalu bima yatakallamu, bima tatakallamu al-sinatuna. Will we be taken to task for verbal utterances? Nabi Sallam said, Ya Mu'al, fakilatka ummuk. هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ وَالْسِنَتِهِمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ الْسَلَاةُ السَّلَامُ. Will there be anything else that will throw people headlong into the fire of Jahannam apart from their verbal utterances? Backbiting, lying, slandering, swearing, verbal deception, all this will be vain. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi used to say, pehle tolo, phir bolo. First weigh the pros and cons, and then speak. وَقَالَ مُجَاهِبْ الْقِسْطَاسِ الْعَدْلُ بِالْرُومِيَّةِ. Mujahid, the student of Abdullah bin Abbas, he says, the word qistas, the root words here, qaf, seen, ta, from this is made the word qist and qistas as well. In the Roman dialect, this means justice. Where this word appears in the Quran, Surah Isra, verse number 35, Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 182, Wazinu bil qistas al mustaqim. Way was a just balance. So Imam Mujahid says, this has been taken into Arabic language from the Roman dialect, Roman language. So this shows that there are certain non-Arabic words in the Quran Kareem as well. This is discussion of his own. You may have read in Kitab al-Fadail al-Quran, the hadith brought by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. And the chapter he has entitled, Nazal al-Quran bil-lisani Quraysh wal-Arab. Then the Quran was revealed in the language of the Quraysh, in the Arabic language. Quran also said, بِلِثَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. Quran revealed in clear Arabic language. So because of these types of verses, some ulama, such as Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, Ibn Jarir Tabri rahmatullahi, Abu Bakr Baqilani rahmatullahi, Ma'mar bin Musanna rahmatullahi, Ibn al-Faris rahmatullahi, they say there is not a single non-Arabic word in the Quran. So it begs the question, if there is no non-Arabic word, why does Mujahid say that the word qistas is taken from the Roman language? The answer to this has been given by this first group of ulama who say there are no non-Arabic words in the Quran. They say this is called tawarud al-lughat. What does this mean? When two communities begin to mingle with each other, their languages become interspersed with each other. One community begins to accept the vocabulary of the second community as well. So in this way, initially this was from the Roman language, the word qistas, but then it became mu'arrab, adapted, embraced into the Arabic language as well. We find this in our situation as well, English language, Afrikaans language, same words used in English, same in Afrikaans. In English I will say, my pen is in my hand. In Afrikaans we say, my pen is on my hand. Exactly the same words, but yet pronunciation different. Afrikaans adopted this sentence from the English language. So similarly yet. But other ulama, such as Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi, they say that yes, there are non-Arabic words in the Quran, even though they have not become Arabicized, not become Mu'arrab, but they are in a minor quantity. So, aksariyat, overwhelming majority, is Arabic in the Quran, so we can say bilisan arabiyyin mubin, which is why some of these ulama say, there are 21 words in the Quran of non-Arabic origin. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah is added. Our first group says there are 24 words. Hafiz ibn Hajar adds on another 27 to make it 51. Allama Suyuti adds on a further 60 to make it 111 non-Arabic words in the Quran. But obviously the overwhelming majority is all Arabic words. وَيُقَالُ الْقِسْطُ مَصْدَرُ الْمُقْسِدْ أَوْ الْعَادِلِ. It is said, قِسْط is the masdar of muqsid. As students, you know, muqsid is ismi fa'il from bab if'al. So masdar of muqsid must be iqsat, not qist. So why does he say it is qist? So he's referring to, this is masdarul masdar, masdar of the masdar. The masdar of muqsid is iqsat, and the masdar of iqsat in mujarrad fi, in thulasi mujarrad, is qist. So basically the same root letters, qaf, sin, ta. Muqsit means adil, one who is just. In the Quran, Surah Hujarat, verse number 9, Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah Ta'ala loves those people who are just. Wa amma al-qasit, fa wa al-ja'i. The word qasit, on the scale of fa'ilun, means ja'ir, which means oppressor. So it shows there are certain words that could have dual meanings. Like in this case, opposite meanings. Same root word, qaf, sin, ta. Depending on the context where it is used, it could mean justice, it could mean the opposite, oppression as well, injustice. So the verse is referring to Suratul Jinn, verse number 15, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. Those who are oppressive, they will become fuel for the fire of Jahannam. In English also we get these words. One is we get synonyms. Two different words with the same meaning, radiant, bright, meaning the same. Antonyms, two different words, opposite meanings. Bright and dull, opposite meanings. But we have something known as contronyms. Contronyms means they're the same word, same spelling, yet depending on the context, you can have opposite meanings. For example, the word dust. We say the servant dusted the cupboard. Servant dusted the cupboard, which means he removed dust particles. But we say the lady dusted the cake with icing sugar. So you're applying dust on the cake. Dust particles, icing sugar particles. Yet the same word, the dust is used. Other words you'll find in the English language. So on the, just on a lighter note, before we come to the hadith, a man went out, he said to his servant, I'm going out, I'll return in the morning. When I return, make sure you draw the curtains, you put out the lights, and you dust the house. Instructions again. When he returned the next morning, obviously when he said, draw the curtains for the day, he meant open the curtains. When he said, put out the lights, switch them off, dust the house, clean the house. But when the boss came back, he saw this man had a canvas. Curtains were still closed, yet drawn the curtains. He was an artist. He drew it on the canvas. Curtains were still closed. Dusting the house, he sprinkled baby powder all over the house instead of cleaning the house. And putting out the lights, he took out all the gloves and threw them out. So this can happen. So similarly here too, qist could mean justice and could mean oppression as well, depending on the context where it is used. Then the hadith, known as hadith al-tasbih, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, there are two phrases, kalimatan, two words, near meaning two sentences, two phrases, habibatan ila rahman, which are very dear and beloved to Allah Ta'ala. So by putting it this way, Nabi Sallam creates some curiosity within us. Man's nature, when he hears this, there are two words very beloved to Rahman, he's eager to find out. What are the two words? The hadith goes on to say, khafifatan ala lisan. The person would assume, if the words are beloved to Rahman, may be very difficult to articulate. So Nabi Sallam says, no, free flowing on the tongue. Very easy to articulate. So if it is easy to articulate, then perhaps they will not weigh heavy on the scale of deeds. So Nabi Sallam says, no, saqilatan fil mizan. Although they are very light on the tongue, they will bear heavy on the scale of deeds. It will cause the scale of good deeds, inshallah, to weigh heavy, in spite of the letters being so light on the tongue. This is the point of departure for Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, where he is trying to prove the claim that he made under the chapter heading, where he said even qawlahum yuzan, that even words will be weighed. So these are words. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. So this tasbih, Imam Bukhari concludes this hadith known as hadith al-tasbih, because of the tasbih mentioned here in Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Here also Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is giving an amazing message that we have read in the hadith. When you sit in a majlis of deen, when you terminate the majlis, terminate by glorifying Allah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the entire majlis of this book, kitab, from beginning to end, is now terminating. So we conclude the majlis also with the tasbih, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. You should make a practice of reciting this. It comes in one hadith that man qara Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 marratin fi yawmin huttat anhu khatayahu walau kanat mithla zabad al-bahr aw kama qala li salatu salam. That the person who recites only the first portion of the hadith was, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Even if it's only that 100 times. If he has Subhanallah wa azim, all the better. Then all his sins, minor sins, will be forgiven, even though the sin be equal to the foam of the ocean. Allah give us the tawfiq of spending our time in glorifying, praising Allah, in the dhikr of Allah, and with the barakah of this kitab, in embracing the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us the tawfiq of embracing, implementing the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every dimension of our lives, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض ويا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطية اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. Oh Allah, we accept this gathering of ours, Allah. We accept our sitting here for your pleasure in your house, Allah. Allah, we have witnessed the completion of one of the most authentic books, in fact, the most authentic book after the Quran Kareem, the Bukhari Sharif. Allah, we accept this gathering seated here, listening to the Sunnah and the Hadith of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, we accept these graduating students for the path of deen, for the cause of deen, Allah. Allah, take wealth from them, Allah. Let them become assets for the Ummah to Allah. Let them spread the message of Islam far and wide. Let them become beacons of Hidayah for the entire mankind. Allah, accept the efforts of the Asatida, efforts of the admin of this madrasa, efforts of all those who are instrumental towards this event reaching this milestone, O Allah. All the well-wishers, donors of the madrasa, accept them as well, O Allah. Allah, accept all the madaris of the entire world, of the ulama, haq, O Allah. Allah, let those madaris flourish, O Allah. Let them become beacons of Hidayah for the entire world, O Allah. Allah, you protect the madaris in the entire world. Protect the maraqib of tabligh. Protect the khankas, O Allah. Let the deen work flourish in all these departments, in the madrasa, in the khankas, in the marka maraqib of tabligh, O Allah. Accept this work of deen from all the people that are engaged in the effort of deen, O Allah. Grant us all in every work of deen, ikhlas, O Allah. Accept it in your court, O Allah. Allah, give us the tawfiq of implementing the sunnahs of Nabi Karim Sam in every dimension of our lives, in our businesses, in our domestic work, O Allah, in our walking, talking, eating, sleeping, in all ways, in all actions, O Allah. Let us implement the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sam in our dressing, in our ibadat, in our mu'amlat, in our mu'ashrat, in all walks of life, O Allah. Let us implement the teachings of Nabi Karim Sam. Let us do it with ikhlas, O Allah, and you accept from us, O Allah. Allah, when the time comes to leave this world, O Allah, take us with the words, the kalima purse on our lips, O Allah. Take us with iman. Let us live with iman. Leave the world with iman, O Allah. You raise us with iman in the company of the shuhada, the siddiqeen and anbiya, O Allah. Allah, make us among those fortunate people that in our deeds are weighed on the scale of deeds, O Allah. Make our good deeds overwhelm the evil deeds, O Allah. Make it heavier, let it be heavy over the good, over the evil deeds, O Allah. Make us among those people who will be given the book of deeds in the right hand. Make us among those people who will enter Jannah without reckoning, O Allah. Let us cause the pulse sirat, the speed of lightning, O Allah. Give us a good fortune of tasting from the Hawza Kawthar, from the Mubarak hands of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, in the akhirat, in Jannah, O Allah, grant us the company of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant us the company of Rasulaha, of Buzuganuddin. Allah, in this world, O Allah, let us remain in the company of the Sulaha, of the Buzuganuddin, those who adopt taqwa, Allah. And Allah, let the taqwa wash over onto us as well, O Allah. Allah, those people of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have told us to make dua for them, who are hopeful of we making dua for them. Allah, you complete and fulfill all the permissible needs, O Allah. Those in the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are ill and sick, O Allah, cure them of the illnesses, O Allah. Those who are in need, O Allah, fulfill the needs, O Allah. Those who are in debt, O Allah, Allah created opportunities for them to repay the debts of Allah. Those who are in financial problems, in business problems, the business is dwindling, oh Allah, give barakat in the rozi, in the business, oh Allah. Let us conduct our business and everything according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, we accept our sitting here, oh Allah. Allah, those of us who has come from far and wide, accept their coming. Let them return to their homes with safety, oh Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka min nabiyyika wa abduka Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك ونبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وانت المستعان وعليك الملاك ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم تب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله